Thanks for finding Organic Matters. Each week I've been doing a particular vegetable or fruit from the Dirty Dozen. What is the Dirty Dozen? It's a listing from a group called the Environmental Working Group. It's a nonprofit, and every so often, pretty often, they go through the fruits and vegetables that we eat the most, and they check them for pesticides and herbicides. And then they make a list of the ones that are the dirtiest, in essence, with the most herbicides and pesticides on them. And they also give you a list called the Clean 15, both of which are available for nothing on the internet. And I recommend you go and see them. But now what I've done is I always, every time they change it, and they do, because seasonally it might be apples that are the worst for a few months or a year or whatever, and then it'll be strawberries. But there's all, and then they always add the newest ones. For instance, today I'm going to give you a little bit more than you'd probably want to know about kale. For years, kale has become sort of like the go-to for people that want to really eat healthy green vegetables. But now, of course, it's gotten so popular, guess what they're doing? They're now spraying kale, I guess, to make it prettier, make grow more of it. And the pesticides are staying on the actual plant you're going to eat. So it's on the list of the Dirty Dozen. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. And what I started to say is each week I'm doing this now to the Dirty Dozen list first, and then we'll go into the Clean 15. But I'm not just telling you the name. I'm telling you what's in it, why did it get on the list, when you should or shouldn't buy organic. And that includes, for instance, if you have your neighbor growing kale, he's not likely spraying the same chemicals as the companies that grow it commercially. So go to the local farmers, go to your friends. If you, that's your first choice besides going certified organic at a good market. I happen to shop at natural grocers a lot, and of course Trader Joe's, and number one is Whole Foods. But if you're not in the area where those are, a local farmer or rancher is a heck of a good way to start looking for healthier foods. So my Dirty Dozen food for the day is kale, which I love, incidentally. But listen, nearly 60% of the kale samples sold in the United States that they tested were contaminated with residues of a pesticide that the EPA says is not safe for you. Incidentally, who is the EPA? Environmental Protection Agency. It's supposed to take care of us. Of late, it hasn't done a lot of that. But anyway, the pesticide they're talking about is known as Dacthal, D-A-C-T-H-A-L, and was put on the list by the EPA way back in, originally 1995, as a possible carcinogen. In 2005, its major manufacturer voluntarily terminated its registration for use in a lot of, about seven or a dozen or so of the U.S. crops, including artichokes, beans, and cucumbers, after studies found its breakdown products were highly persistent in the environment and could contaminate drinking water sources for months after its original use. For these reasons, in 2009, the European Union prohibited all uses of Dacthal in their crops. That's in Europe now. Yet it is still used here in the United States on crops such as, we're talking about right now, kale, broccoli, sweet potatoes, which gets me big time, eggplant, and turnips. Other leafy greens are also widely contaminated with Dacthal. More than 35% of the collards, mustard green samples analyzed by the USDA were tainted with detectable levels of this chemical, this pesticide, Dacthal. Unfortunately, even as leafy greens, the popularity as health foods have become bigger and better and has soared in recent years, the level and type of pesticide residues on kale and other greens has actually expanded significantly. Not going down now, gone up. Collards, kale, and mustard greens were third on the list in 2021. Between 2007 and 2012, the acres of kale harvested here in the United States grew by more than 56%, with more than 2.5 times as many commercial farmers growing it as before that. Non-organic kale farming relies heavily on the use of several synthetic pesticides, including, unfortunately, Dacthal, even though, to remind you again, the EPA's 1995 classification of it as a possible carcinogen noted that it has increases in liver and thyroid tumors. Dacthal now also appears to cause harm to your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, and your thyroid. You got to ask, why are they allowed to use it? They can't use it in Europe. According to the U.S. Geological Survey data from back about 2016 or 17, is the newest I can find, 500,000 pounds of Dactyl was sprayed in the United States. Think about that. 500,000, that's a 500,000 pounds, folks. And somewhat ironically, because we always talk about California, they're the only state that is even required to report how much they use. Nobody else has to even tell you. So to begin with, it is listed as a possible carcinogen. Folks, that means possible cancer-causing. In states with high Dactyl use, concerns now have grown about the capacity of its breakdown products to contaminate surface and even groundwater. Not only can Dactyl contaminate areas near its use, but studies now indicate it can also travel long distances in our atmosphere. A report by the Washington State Department of Agriculture recommended a complete phase-out of Dactyl in their state starting back in 2015. In California, Dactyl breakdown products were detected in groundwater wells far above the EPA health advisory level for these contaminants, triggering potential action to restrict the use of Dactyl under state law. But AMVAC, a California-based manufacturer of Dactyl, argued that such uses were not a concern for human health. That was their opinion. Siding with the manufacturer, the California Office of Environmental Health Hazards, quote, said, decided to totally disregard the human health risk of this pesticide. Dactyl can also drift into the air and homes around farms where it is sprayed. A recent study led by scientists at the University of California at Berkeley, and it's their School of Public Health, found that more than 50% of adolescent girls from farm communities in the Salinas Valley, part of California, were exposed to Dactyl. This is especially concerning given that Dactyl is also a suspected endocrine disruptor. What's that mean? Yeah, a chemical that can affect hormones, especially of younger people, and may be particularly harmful to thyroid function. To say one more time, we knew back in 2014. Back then, the EPA reviewed Dactyl as a part of the endocrine disruptor screening programs they were running, concluded that Dactyl does interact with thyroid signaling, and requested more data on thyroid toxicity for sensitive populations, especially children. And, of course, they also looked into the problem with it affecting developing fetuses even. Earlier studies had reported that Dactyl, as it is sprayed on the fields, also has contaminants, two of which are carcinogenic and highly toxic impurities. One is dioxin, which we've maybe all heard about if you've kept your nose to the grindstone. Not a good thing. And the other one is hexachlorobenzene. It's just, whenever you see the word benzene, folks, you know it can cause problems. It's one of the carcinogens you might recognize the name because it's one of the main carcinogens that the Camp Lejeune problem that's riled up everybody. Now that everybody's suing and getting money because a number of people that stayed at that site ended up with cancers of different kinds. Well, I'm sorry to beat this to death, but let's get back at least to finish talking about the greens, the kale and other kale collard and mustards are all included in this group. Analysis of the most recent USDA data shows that on average, leafy green samples, such as kale, collards, and mustard greens, had detectable levels of 5.4 different pesticides, not just Dactyl now, with a maximum of 21 different residues on some single samples. And 86% of samples had detectable levels of two or more pesticide residues. Additionally, one of every four leafy green samples contained bifenthrin and cibermethrin, two types of pyrethroid insecticides. And yes, we used to think pyrethrin was safe for us because the original pyrethrin, before it was made commercially, actually came from chrysanthemums. But that didn't make it safe, folks. I always do this to remind people a teaspoon of pure nicotine, which comes from plants, folks, can kill several hundred people, one teaspoon of it. So when we think it's natural, and I always want to tell you, go natural, there is a lot of dangerous stuff out there that we still shouldn't be putting in our bodies just because it got made by nature. Our bodies are not meant to be able to tolerate them. Anyway, that study found that the metabolites of these pesticides were detected in the urine of children and are associated with adverse neurological outcomes such as ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I was going to make it short, but we'll say what it is. Folks, not even the end of the study. There's another chemical they used that they left off the list, and now they're going back to retest it, called imidacloprid. They've now found that it's also used on our green crops, especially kale, mustard, and collards. However, I do want to say this because I sound so negative on this. Kale and other leafy green vegetables really are good for you. They're very nutritious vegetables, really high in vitamins A and K. They have a lot of iron. And consumption of leafy greens is associated with a reduced risk of, for one thing, for sure, cardiovascular disease. With so many different varieties of greens to choose from, everyone can find one to incorporate into their diet. But for this particular product, folks, I personally recommend only buying it if you can afford to buy it or if you can find it as an organic vegetable. That includes kale, collards, and mustard greens. Or number one in my life, of course, is grow them yourself. They're super simple to grow. And so I can't all of us do that. I know we don't all have the place to do that. But if not, find somebody local that's growing it or go to these stores. Yes, there are more money, although the difference is getting less. I just went shopping for Thanksgiving 2 days ago. Went over to Natural Grocer because they didn't have everything I wanted here, plus the store that in this little town where I live, Comfort, is terrible. It has like two organic items in the whole place. But what was interesting is I price checked and I was buying some really good organic greens, organic cilantro, what I needed to cook with at the Natural Grocer, in some cases less expensive, but certainly matching the price at least of the conventional, much less healthy stuff in the little store here in town. It's called a Lowe's, L-O-W-E-S, but no, it's not where you buy your lumber. Lowe's is a chain of small town kind of grocery stores, but they don't have much of a care about what they just buy stuff in mass volumes, the cheapest chicken they can get and the cheapest vegetables. And they even have a grass-fed meat, but it's not USDA organic, strangely enough. And boy, is it bad. I mean, it is tougher than it may. It gives organic, or at least gives grass-fed beef, a bad name. So by all means, go and find your greens to eat, but find healthy organic greens. One thing I do know is if you eat your greens and put some lemon juice on them, or you eat some peppers or tomatoes, things that have that kind of acidity, which are also rich in vitamin C, because that vitamin C helps your body absorb the nutrients that are in the greens better. So it's a great match to put on your plate. Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters.